It's really core to the experience that we're building that you should be able to find a lot of what you like and to be able to avoid the things that you don't like and to learn along the way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Permission for Pleasure. I'm Cindy Sharkey, your host, and it's a delight to have you listening today. Thanks for tuning in. Let me ask you a question. I'm curious. What do you think about during sex? Pause just a minute and consider your last sexual experience. What were you thinking about? It's an interesting question, and one that my guest began asking as she developed Dipsy, a people-powered story studio that produces a wide range of erotic female-focused audio content. Gina Gutierrez and her co-founder wanted to help people, women especially, to write themselves and their imaginations back into the sexual equation. Gina is going to talk with me about how storytelling and imagination are powerful tools that can help women unlock liberating connections with their bodies. Armed with a psychology degree from Duke and a desire to break the stigma that fantasy should be stifled, she's ready to help women everywhere tap into their sexual powers. So let's get to hearing what she has to say. Welcome to the show, Gina. Glad to have you.
Thanks, Cindy.
Tell us a little bit about you and your work in the world.
Yeah, so I started Dipsy, which is an app for spicy audio stories, with a friend. So Faye and I started Dipsy. We were just talking about it before we got on air 6 years ago. We were on similar timelines, similar tracks. And we had this insight that by taking a purely physical approach to sex, we were really writing a lot of people out of the equation, women especially, and that there was an opportunity to take a mind-first approach to sex. And we were excited about doing that in the format of audio stories. It's really exciting to be here today and still be talking about erotic audio stories because they really seemed to hit something for people, help them imagine what could be in their own lives, or maybe just purely what fantasies they want to encourage and nurture in their own minds. And so I've been the CEO and chief creative officer at Dipsy for 5 years.
Lovely. Why did you name it Dipsy?
So I'm actually an East Coaster, and so is my co-founder. She's from Connecticut, and I'm from New York, and we met in the Bay Area. And the Bay Area has a famous trail called the Dipsy Trail that rings the coast. It's really beautiful, exceptionally beautiful. So it's a little bit of an ode to where we met, but we also wanted a name that sounded like you could dip a toe in and it would be safe and fine, just dip a toe in the waters. So with Dipsy, you can dip into a sea of stories.
I like that. I'm glad I asked that. I am thinking back to your TED talk, and you said, you were talking about women in your talk, and you said, using their memories, fantasies, and some focus, women can turn themselves on with their thoughts.
Yeah, I think we all intuitively understand that our minds matter when it comes to sex, but we're more primed to think about our minds holding us back during sex. So they come in and they cause us to dissociate, or they make us focus on what we look like, or they make us wonder, is the other person having a great time, or what the to-do list is for later in the day, or you name it, our brains can do it. And we're used to thinking our brains as kind of a hindrance. And instead, I think it also is intuitive that in those moments where you are able to find focus, tune into your body, and imagine, that brains actually are hugely powerful and important for sex. And so we have those tools embedded within us. That's not a download that you need. That's not a software update. Like, we all come preloaded with that ability. We just don't nurture it. And so I think it's an unlock to remind people, especially women, whose physical arousal systems need a lot of mental support, that this is a new avenue for a lot more agency and a lot more enjoyment.
Okay, so let's zero back to that. You said women need a lot of more mental support.
Yep.
I'm curious. Tell me more about that.
I'm sure you have plenty of thoughts about that too.
I do, but I'd love to hear yours first.
So we were very influenced early on and continue to be by the work by Dr. Emily Nagoski, who wrote the famous book, Come As You Are. And Emily Nagoski talks a lot about reactive versus spontaneous desire. And so spontaneous desire is the kind of desire that we see portrayed in movies where it's like, oh my God, I'm suddenly hit by the desire to jump my partner's bones, or it stops me in my tracks in the street when I see an attractive stranger and I can't stop until I have sex right now. And most people identify as women, say that that's not their experience, and that their experience is much more reactive, meaning in the right conditions, when the lighting is nice, when you feel good in your body, when you like your outfit, when your partner's saying exactly the right things, we all have our own little matrix of things that matter, then desire emerges. So it's there, but it's kind of latent. It needs some help. And that's really, really common. So this isn't like a pathology. This isn't a problem. This isn't like low libido, capital L. This is a really common way of experiencing desire. And so immersing yourself in an amazing story, or reminding yourself of an amazing memory, or literally doing something as simple as setting the mood with candles can all be really helpful inputs to help you access desire.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard you quoted saying cognition is as important to arousal as the presence of sexual stimuli. And I agree with that 100%. And I do agree as well that people don't understand just how important their mind and brain is to sex.
Definitely. And I say this in the TED Talk that I gave 2 years ago, but we have tools that help us to further our imaginations in other ways. And so examples of that, we have Pinterest to imagine what we want our living room to look like, and we have Airbnb to imagine what we want our dream vacation to look like. Even if we're not booking that house, even if we're not decorating our home that way, it creates more room for our imagination to live. And Dipsy is creating more room for your erotic imagination. What do you want it to look like? What works for you? What themes and patterns and characters and people emerge that work for you? And it makes sense if we're not given great tools that we don't feel like we're good at the craft. And so we want to be a really great tool for that.
And Dipsy, with its audio storytelling around sexuality, it seems to provide, I think you've said, mental framing and also scenarios that can help kind of spark our imaginations and our mind to engage and be aroused. Yes?
Exactly. And I think, you know, that's a really comprehensive way of describing it. But honestly, maybe the more like talking about it with my friends at a dinner table or to my book club is, you know, when you hear a story that you really like, it like makes butterflies happen in your stomach. You literally feel arousal start to present itself in your body. So you're like, oh my God, these stories really turn me on. And we are professional creators of stories designed to turn people on. And we focus on women because we believe women are the most underserved in this space. The whole internet is catered towards men. And so we deserved our own corner of the world. And so these stories are meant to put you in that right frame of mind. Partly that's with amazing, sexy characters and great storylines. And they're serialized. So if you love someone, you can follow them along for many, many episodes. But also paying attention to details that no one else seemed to be paying attention to, like consent in every story, like safe sex in the moments where that really, really matters, especially in first encounters. Body positivity, being open and loose about what a character looks like so that you can imagine yourself in that body versus be presented with the quote-unquote perfect form on a screen in front of you. Those are radical differences that we're really proud to have embedded in all of our stories.
And vastly different from pornography.
Super different. Super different.
Because sometimes people think, Gina, that audio erotica is equated with pornography, and I don't agree. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Definitely. Pornography is famously very, very poorly defined. But what I hear, what I've read, what I see over and over is that there are three ways to understand something as pornographic. Like, one, it is designed to elicit arousal. Two, it is produced by people who are having sex, e.g. sex workers. And three, it is visually graphic. Those are kind of like the three identifiers of pornography. And so Dipsy is designed to elicit arousal and desire, but it is not made with and in partnership with sex workers because it is made with actors who are working in voice booths all over the country remotely, and we're stitching together to make it sound so immersive. And it's not visually graphic, it's audio. And so the fundamental experience of consuming it isn't being told, because it's right in front of you, what you're consuming. It's allowing you to put together your own story and your own vision in your own mind of what you want to experience. And that level of agency and imagination, I think, is a much more creative exercise, a safer exercise, and ultimately a more exciting exercise.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that because a lot of people don't have good or any sex education, I'm curious how they receive the stories and you modeling consent consistently, modeling safe sex practices consistently in the stories. What kind of feedback do you get from your listeners about the education they probably receive from that?
This has to be my favorite question and my favorite question to answer, because it's true. All of us were overwhelmingly not given a full set of resources when it comes to sex education. Even those who received the most progressive sex education probably weren't talked to about pleasure. It's very, very unusual. And so, yeah, like Dipsy is first and foremost designed to be a fun, sexy, pleasurable experience. But a huge, huge secondary experience is like, oh, wow, like I really like words used like that. Or wow, consent like that can sound really easy and not awkward or kind of momentum killing. Or, you know, I really like this and I actually don't really like that. And to have a character express that so clearly makes me feel more comfortable with my own boundaries and preferences. So the ways that people learn are huge here. And the feedback that we get is wild because we hear from all different kinds of people who are learning things that make sense in the format or the context of their own lives. So I had this one day that really sticks in my mind where I talked in the morning to a student at Pratt. They're 19, they're non-binary, they're living in Brooklyn, they're kind of struggling getting out and dating because they're queer and they feel a little bit insecure about their lack of experience. And they're saying, wow, Dipsy is really helping me imagine what I might be like on a date and how I might have sex, and it's making me feel more confident. Amazing. Like, that's incredible education. We're so proud to offer that. And then that afternoon, I talked to a 35-year-old mom who lives in Provo, Utah, who is saying that she has, I think, 3 kids, maybe more. She has several kids. She really loves her husband, but she was feeling like sex always was this thing that she should do. It's just like kind of part of default in her married life. She hadn't even really considered that she could really enjoy it. It wasn't something that she was really missing. She just hadn't really considered it. And suddenly she was considering it and she was talking to her husband about it and it was changing their sex life. And that's two wildly different people in one day who are learning in ways that matter to them.
Yes, I love to hear that. And I do love that your platform really allows people to access what they're interested in. You pick and choose. You've given me access so that I can kind of look around. And it's true. Yes, people can go in and say, well, I'm interested in this, or I prefer this. They may find that is or is not what they prefer, but you do give them options to pick and choose.
That's a really good point. Yes, it's really core to the experience that we're building that you should be able to find a lot of what you like and to be able to avoid the things that you don't like and to learn along the way. And so everything is tagged really clearly. There should not be unpleasant surprises in our universe, right? If you're uncomfortable with a story that touches on infidelity, we should not have you listening to that story. If you like that in a fantasy world, amazing. We're not going to judge you for that. And so those are the ways that we help to make sure that this experience is fun and safe for everyone. And then, of course, the kind of classic ones that matter most, which is like, is this story for someone who's straight? Is this story for someone who's queer? Does this story include a non-binary character? Those things allow you to find the content that makes the most sense for you.
Great. I really like that. You even have sleep meditations and stories for sleep on there, don't you?
Totally. That's some of my favorite content. I think it's so unique. There's so much sleep content out there. I'm sure most of us are familiar with that by now. Like Calm has great sleep content. Headspace has great sleep content. But we take the characters that you love and we include them in those sleep stories. So say you listen to a half an hour of Killian because you love that character. Then you can kind of stay in Killian's story universe and have him, I don't know, tinker in the back porch, finish a project, or maybe he's just cleaning up after dinner and you are in the room next door falling asleep. It's this idea of like comfort and coziness and familiarity with characters that creates these like really relaxing sonic environments of as if you're living together in their home. It's really interesting. And I don't think you're going to find anything like it anywhere else. So definitely recommend.
Fascinating. And you brought up the word fantasy. We've talked about this on this podcast before. People, oh gosh, people have such a difficult time thinking about fantasy or their fantasies. Why do you think that is, Gina? Let's get another perspective here on the show.
Yeah. So I think this is maybe within an American context or within a Western context, there's a couple things that hold us up with fantasy. I think that people have challenges maybe at a higher level with things that feel good to them. And I think some of the reasons they have trouble with the idea of pursuing what feels good to them is that they think that if it's good to them, it must be selfish. It's like a zero-sum game. If you feel more pleasure, someone else must suffer more, either because of your negligence or because you've taken up all the good stuff or whatever else. There's just like this binary that we have in our minds. If I feel good, it's kind of selfish. We put a limit on how much we can feel good. I get to feel good a little bit in fun size, but I don't get to feel good all the way because that's guilty, right? So we make these pleasures, we package them up as like chick lit or a guilty pleasure movie or whatever else to kind of soothe our guilt. I think we are holding ourselves to really high bars of what we need to do to earn pleasure or feeling good. And it's kind of an impossible bar. We're never going to hit that bar. And then the biggest one that I think connects most to fantasy, the one that we talk about least, is that feeling too good actually is dangerous. Like if I get a taste of that, I'll abandon all reason, all responsibility. I'll be slothful. I'll be depraved. I'll lose my belonging in society. Like, I know that maybe sounds really crazy and big, but I think we can feel flickers of that in all of our own lives. Like, too much of a good thing is something that's really embedded in our culture. And so with fantasy, I think we believe that if we get a taste of a fantasy, it'll mean that we're abandoning or betraying the truths that define our own lives. So for example, if I'm in a long-term monogamous partnership, if I'm married, is it such a slippery slope, so dangerous to fantasize about an Irish farmer named Killian? Is that dangerous? And, you know, it's funny, it's silly, but like we at Dipsy definitely believe that that's not a problem, that that's actually a beautiful thing, that within the confines of your own mind, that's not behavior, that's just thought. You're exploring, you're considering, you're feeling out, you're doing things that you would never do in your real life because you're bound by all such things like love for your partner and the fidelity and commitment that you've promised. And so these aren't like devious, foreshadowing future behavior. They're just something that you get to enjoy in a very personal way. And that, I think, really is very hard for people to hold.
Yes. Yes.
How does that match with your understanding of people's relationship with fantasy?
Yes. And I think there's a lot to that wisdom to what you're saying. And also, what I like to remind people is that our fantasies and our imagination, what we imagine, you know, that arouses us, isn't necessarily what we want to happen in real life.
Exactly.
And yet that's really hard to wrap our heads around.
Absolutely. And I think that historically, one of the reasons that kink has been so maligned in our culture is because it puts so forward this idea that one can like live outside the bounds of what's accepted in our everyday lives in this safe space, in this safe container. And people don't believe that that container can be safe. That this idea that play can't mean true desire for your everyday life is just very, very, very difficult for people to kind of unlock. I do get it. I understand where that comes from. But I think there's so much to be gained from believing that your pleasure is what comes first. So it starts with you, not like you in relationship with anyone else. It just starts with you. And that your mind is a personal place. It like actually isn't beholden to anyone else. Your behavior is what is beholden to others.
That's well said. I'm thinking too of Dr. Lori Brado's work, who's been a guest on this show talking about desire, and her work and research with breast cancer survivors in particular. I'm kind of making a skew here, but I want to bring the research to this as well, which you've done as well, Gina, but just how this fleshes out for people in real life when studied is that fantasy and using our imaginations, especially with women, does increase and help with desire, increase arousal, awareness of arousal, ding, ding, and increased desire.
Totally. And I think that's definitely true. And another metaphor or analogy that I like to use is when we're in the flow of going to a yoga class regularly or going to an exercise class that we enjoy regularly, we remember how good it feels and it's easier to want to go back because we have the muscle memory of those endorphins and what that feels like close. We can remember it saliently. And when we're in touch with what our fantasies are, when we're in touch what feels good for us, when there's recency to those memories, it's easier to say, I want more of that. I like know what it can feel like, and I'd like to feel more of it. And when we're far outside those patterns and more in a rut, it's much less accessible or easy to imagine what will feel good or what we would like to think about. And so it makes sense to me. I have experienced this myself, where it's like, well, does pleasure even matter right now? Is that actually something I should prioritize? Because it's just not right on the tip of your tongue in memory.
And pleasure is a big, important topic on this podcast. Obviously, the title of the podcast indicates that, because I'm with you in that pleasure is just so often not part of the conversation. And I do think this audio piece for some people could be really key in kind of tapping into or unlocking that mind body, using your senses piece to access pleasure.
Yes. And one of the biggest surprises maybe for me as a founder of Dipsy is that we thought that Dipsy would be a kind of pre-game experience, like before I have sex or maybe before I engage in self-pleasure, maybe before I go on a date. And that has been true. That is definitely how people listen. There are also others who listen just with free time, in a moment, in their cars on a commute, like walking down the street. Because for them, it's not for the sake of what happens next. It's purely for the pleasure of enjoying it. That's it. Period. Hard stop. And there's something so powerful about that, about like the daily weaving in of something that you think is sexy and fun and exciting, and just like weaving in that feeling into your everyday. Like, I would have trouble being on the bus and listening to a Dipsy story. I think it's amazing that there are people who do that. It's opened my mind to what it means to just kind of allow yourself pleasure. It's maybe beyond even like my own personal practice of it. And I find it very inspiring.
Yes, I do too. And I do think that when we engage our minds, bodies, and the connection with pleasure, just in our day-to-day lives, we talk about this a lot on this show, but I see that as transporting into or moving into your sexual experiences as well, because you're more in tune with pleasure, allowing pleasure, thinking about pleasure, right? And that's what you're saying here, which is just fascinating that so many of us, we don't give ourselves permission, Gina.
It's true. And we are the keepers of our own keys. Like, we've become the best little jail key holders of our own pleasure. We've become like dedicated to holding ourselves back from it. And we forget that there's any other way. And that's no one's fault. That's just how we are taught. And we become very, very, very good at it. Another thought leader, writer that I'm deeply inspired by is Audre Lorde, who is a feminist thinker who talked a lot about pleasure as a queer Black feminist. And she talked about the erotic as this resource inside all of us. Like, there's this plane of knowledge that we've all got, we just aren't accessing very often. And that getting more in touch with the idea of like, this feels right to me, or like, this feels good to me, is like true knowledge. It's like closer to our truest selves. And yeah, I mean, I can go about my days over and over and not remember that. And then when I do, I'm like, wow, it's back. It's a bigger philosophy than sex, but it feeds right back into sex. It's this perpetual motion machine. When we're aware of that, it makes sex better with ourselves and with others. And we're having better sex with ourselves and others. We're more aware of that. And I find that really exciting.
Very exciting. Very exciting. And you've said, I'm going to quote you, desire isn't a problem to be solved. It's a fire to be stoked. And that's exactly what you're talking about right there.
That's what we're talking about. I am on a mission for women everywhere to stop thinking that something is wrong with them. There must be a broken bit that someone hasn't discovered yet and will discover soon and shame them for. There's nothing broken. It's just figuring out what works for you. It's all hard-coded.
We need to keep saying that over and over and over. And with that in mind, I'm thinking, if I'm a listener, I may be thinking, well, what are the most common things that people come in and listen to? Or what are people listening to on this app? I just want to normalize different fantasies and things that excite people So tell us a little bit about that from your platform's perspective, would you?
Yeah, definitely. I can tell you about some of our most popular stories. And again, on Dipsy, if you love a character and you love a story, there are many, many episodes to follow along with, so you can really immerse yourself in a world. One of our most popular series is called Hometown. It's like a classic nostalgia, friends become more fantasy of when you re-encounter someone in your life that meant one thing to you and then suddenly they become more. And the characters have such incredible chemistry. Their names are Jack and Gia. It's an incredible story. And the erotic tension throughout it is really a masterclass. Our producers should be really proud of their work on that one. Another really popular one right now is called Forbidden Fruit, which is one of Dipsy's first forays into more fantasy-style content. So it's Hades and Persephone. And what that kind of story allows us to do is to take some of the supernatural elements outside of our everyday world that really amplify tension, should we not, forbidden nature of relationships that are just so, so sexy. So people really love that one too. A great queer storyline is called Familiar Face, which is queer story about a woman who studied abroad in Ireland and ends up back there and falls in love with someone she should not be in love with. So there is like an infidelity storyline here that I think we approach with a lot of deft thought at Dipsy, but is one of those sorts of stories where there's a lot of like, we probably shouldn't, but we will. And then the last one that I'll recommend is called Lone Wolf, which is like the graveliest male voice I have ever heard in my life. So people really, really love this character's voice. And it's about a farmer or like a rancher, rather, in Montana who's reintroducing wolves into the ecosystem. So eco nerds, this is for you. And all the ranchers hate him because they think it's going to be a problem for their ranches. And so he's kind of this bad boy character that no one understands. So lots of different things to find on Dipsy.
Well, you know what the great thing is, just having you list some of those things, is that we're all different. And so different things appeal to different people. And also, sometimes you may think, you know, this is so way out. I'm sure no one else is having fantasies about other countries or a different accent or vampires or whatever you said, other spiritual realms or what have you. But the truth is, our imaginations are vast. And there's just so much capacity there. And so whatever you're imagining, probably someone else is as well. This is why it's the same stories appealed, you know, to multiple people.
It's so true.
Let's just normalize that. Normalize that there's a big, vast imagination for everyone. And even though it may feel a little scary to you, if you haven't really dipped your toe in yet, there could be a lot of freedom there to explore. And with Dipsy, it sounds like in a safe way, you know, just with your own imagination by yourself or you with a partner. I wonder if people listen with a partner ever, do they?
People tend to listen to stories on their own. And then if they like one, they'll share them with a partner.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of becomes homework for a partner, like the sexiest homework ever, I guess. Listen to this because I love it. Or let's listen together. So it usually starts with personal exploration. Then it often translates into partner listening.
And I love the segue of that to something I feel so strongly about, that if you are partnered, it could be a really healthy conversation to have around what gets your heart rate up, you know, what arouses you, figuring out these things as you listen to stories about what turns you on, what does stoke the fire for you, and then communicating that with your partner in a way it can be received.
Exactly. And sometimes that's easier to do when you're pointing out a story versus saying this is something that I like. Like, it's a little vulnerable to say, like, I really like dirty talk like this. I would really like you to say this. Many people do it and I encourage you to do it, but it's not easy. I understand why it's not easy. And when you're listening to a Dipsy story, you just have it done for you in a way that you might like. And so you can say, oh, I really like this story, in the more abstract. And it's an interesting kind of tactic or tool to have some of those trickier conversations.
Yes. And I'm thinking why romance novels are always so widely read and spread and such a big part of the book world. And this is kind of a different piece in the way of people that are drawn to a story. This is a different way of having a story. I just like people having different ways to engage with content that will, as we talked about, stoke the fire for them.
I think that's exactly right. Like, the most exciting thing over the last 5 or 6 years of Dipsy is realizing that the options available for people are just expanding like crazy. And I would love for you to listen to Dipsy and think like, this is it for me. Amazing. But if it's not, there are other options too. And that's how it should be.
Yes. Love that. I like to have people on this show share what delights them day to day. And we've talked about this a little bit in this conversation in the sense of recognizing pleasure in our day-to-day life and then having that translate into all areas of your sexuality. I wonder if you might share something that delights you day-to-day.
Yes. Lately, I've been taking eucalyptus showers. So I've been using eucalyptus essential oil and putting them in the shower before I get in. And it feels like I have a steam shower, which I don't, but it feels like I do. And it's luxurious and makes me feel like I'm outside and it's just like very sensual. It's amazing. So that's a daily pleasure for me.
Lovely.
And as of the time that we're recording this, the Spotify year in reviews came out, I think a week ago. And so for me, a daily pleasure is exploring my friends' music and what they listen to every day. It's been so fun.
That is fun. Thanks for sharing that. Oh, that's great. Well, thanks so much for being with us and tell people how they can find you and Dipsy, Gina.
Yeah. So if you have listened and thought, I would love to explore Dipsy, amazing. If you go to Dipsy, D-I-P-S-E-A, stories.com/Cindy, you can explore for 30 days totally free. So I would love for you to tool around and see what you find and hopefully enjoy. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok. Our social media manager does such an amazing job with content in those spaces. It's funny, it's interesting, it's educational, and you can find us at Dipsy Stories on both platforms.
Thank you. Thanks again for being with us.
Thanks, Cindy.
And community, I'm thinking back to that idea of our desire is not a problem to be solved, but a fire to be stoked. So as we wrap up, let's consider how we might use our imaginations to stoke the fire of our desire. And that will help you give yourself more permission for pleasure.